Welcome, welcome. Today we are getting started and with this series. We've been in this series, All We Need Is Love, amen? And we are now in part two of a two-part sermon called Rooted in Love. And so we're going to continue forward with that today. Would you just stand to stretch your legs for just a minute as we read the opening passage this morning? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 19. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I pray, O God, that you would take the seeds of your word and plant them into our heart, and may they bring forth a harvest of righteousness, of peace, and of joy. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus, thank you, Lord, for this. Amen. Amen. You may be reseated. So I'm not going to re-preach last week's sermon. If you didn't catch that, you're welcome to do that. You can go to the YouTube channel. I failed to mention this last week. It's 24/7 Church, 247 Church. You can search that. You can find it. You can subscribe, and you'll get notifications if you'd like to receive that, to let you know when we are going live and when there is a new sermon up or new content up. But I would encourage you to go back and listen to that message. And there was another message prior to that that started out this series called Love Found You. So you can go and watch those if you'd like. Those are also going to be up on the podcast. If you say, you know what, I don't have time to watch a video, but I want to listen, we can get you more information on that. If you want to stop by the Welcome Center, you can get that information as well. I don't have it in front of me, otherwise I'd give it to you. But let's begin here. So as we're talking about this rooted and grounded in love, it says that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend the width, the length, the depth, and the height of the love of Christ, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. You can't begin to comprehend the love of Christ. You cannot be filled with the fullness of God until you are rooted and grounded in love. I'm going to say that again. You can't begin to comprehend the love of Christ. You can't be filled with the fullness of God until you are rooted and grounded in love. Being rooted and grounded in love. When you hear the word root, you think of a plant or a tree. Where do trees and plants come from? Where do they come from? A seed, right? But how does that seed grow roots? You have to plant it, right? Matthew chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4 says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And then Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Being rooted in love. In order for me to grow roots, I have to be buried. In order to live a new life, I must allow my old life to die. Paul says, I am buried with Christ in baptism. But in Romans 6, he says, I was baptized into Christ. Into Christ. It didn't say for or unto or with. It says into Christ. What does that mean to be baptized into Christ? John chapter 3, verse 3 through 9 and 14 and 15 says, Jesus replied, he was talking to Nicodemus here. He says, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, at the end there, he says, and as Moses was lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever caught that little statement in there. It seems kind of out of place. And so for some of us, I would like for us to understand this. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the snake, the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Well, what was the story about this bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness? What in the world was that? So there was this story where the children of Israel were going through the wilderness. They were being led, but they had to go around the land of Edom. You see, the land of Edom, they were on their way to the promised land, but the land of Edom belonged to Esau. You know, there was Jacob and Esau. So the land of Edom belonged to Esau. So God said, you can't touch them. You can't take theirs. That's their inheritance. You got to go around. Well, it was a longer way to go around. And as they were on the journey, they began to get tired and they were frustrated and upset that it was taking a long time. I don't know how many of us have ever been in that situation, right? Where you have, are we there yet? Are we? Well, okay, this was a little bit different. You can tell your kids this story and it'll freak them out, okay? So they were complaining and they were grumbling and they were causing all kinds of problems. But then they began to talk bad about God. They began to talk bad about Moses, the leader, and said, you know what? This guy doesn't know where he's going. He has no idea what he's doing. This God of ours is just leading us around in circles. You know, who is this guy, this God that we serve that he can't even figure out how to get us to the promise? I mean, I'm just kind of ad-libbing as to what they said because it doesn't say what they said. It says that they were complaining. They were murmuring against God and against Moses, right? And so they get to this point, and it says that the Lord allowed for these serpents, these snakes that were poisonous, to begin to come into the camp and bite them. And as a result, some of them died. They started, they were poisonous. They started dying. And then they realized, oh, it could be a lot worse. All right, I'm sorry. Please forgive us. They went to Moses and said, we're sorry. We shouldn't have been talking like that. We recognize that God is bigger than us, and he's the one that's in control, so we're going to stop this. Would you please pray to God and ask him to help us and to save us? Well, Moses did. He prayed, and God said, look, do this. The most odd thing, he says, take a piece of bronze and make a replica of what the sin or the curse is. Place it on this pole and raise it up. And the craziest of things, he said, anybody that looks at it, if they're bitten, if they will turn and they will look at this, they'll be healed and they will be saved and they will live. Now, I'm not going to try to explain that story right now. That's not the point. What I want us to hear is that salvation came at the point where they turned and they believed, they looked at that object and they believed. Jesus said that being born again was the result of believing. Just like the children of Israel were saved from death when they beheld the bronze snake fastened to a pole and erected in the midst of their sin, so Jesus took the form of our sin upon himself, was fastened to a tree, and erected in the place of death, so that all who look to him may find salvation. By grace you have been saved through faith. Believe. We must believe. Amen? Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Jesus told them, "I tell you the truth. If you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." Luke chapter 18, verse 16 and 17, this is in the Living Bible translation. It says, "Then Jesus called the children over to him and said to the disciples, 'Let the little children come to me. Never send them away, for the kingdom of God belongs to men who have hearts as trusting as these little children. And anyone who doesn't have this kind of faith, their kind of faith, will never get within the kingdom's gates.'" We have to have faith like little children. We have to just trust. We have to just believe. So let's recap briefly. Jesus called the children, being rooted in love, a seed must be planted in order to grow roots. We were buried with Christ through baptism because we were baptized into Christ, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, so we are also raised to new life. That's what it means to be born again. The mystery of spiritual rebirth is the result of believing in Jesus. The mystery of spiritual rebirth is the result of living in Jesus. My faith is the seed that plants me into Christ through spiritual baptism. I'm buried with Christ so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, I am also resurrected into new life in Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now I'm going to say this. In order to grow roots, I must trust love. I must place my trust in God's love for me. I want you to think about that. Ephesians chapter 3. "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love." Rooted and grounded. What does it mean to be grounded? The Greek word for grounded, I have to think about it for a minute, how it's pronounced, themelio. It means to lay a basis for, literally erect or figuratively consolidate, to lay the foundation, ground, settle. I want you to say grounded. Say grounded. Say foundation. Say settle. Stop running. Stop leaving. Stay put. Be still. Be grounded. Some of us don't have any roots. There is no growth in our lives because there is no foundation. We haven't decided. We aren't committed. And therefore, there is no stability in our lives. We don't want to put down roots. We aren't grounded because we are afraid to trust. I want you to hear this. We are afraid to trust. We are afraid to trust because we don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to open ourselves up because we're afraid of being hurt. What if they judge me? What if they don't accept me? What if there is something better? We don't trust because we don't want to be hurt. We don't want to be dependent. We don't want to be committed. In society these days, we can't seem to make up our minds. There's always the what if. We want to leave our options open. When we get into any kind of a situation with any kind of commitments, well, this is convenient for now. We are always looking for the next great thing. I remember whenever we were first married, I came to the realization very quickly that my wife, when she buys things, she'll buy 4 and 5 and 6 and 10 dresses, and she'll bring them all home, and she'll try them on. She's tried them on there. She tried them on there. She brings them home. She puts one on. How does this make me look? Sweetheart, you look fabulous. That's the answer, right? She puts the next one on. What about this one? Amazing. Are you sure? I think that. What about the color? What about. Josh, you know what I'm talking about, right? It's just like, man, I'm stuck right now. If I say the wrong thing, I'm going to be in some serious trouble. You know, anyway. At the end, when she's done, she may keep one or two. And she takes everything else back and returns it. At a certain point, some of these stores began to implement new policies. Because apparently my wife is not unique in this. And I'm not saying that it's related to gender, because I'm sure that guys do it too. But they implemented this new policy that you could only return so many items within any given year. And so you had to give them your driver's license every time that you returned. I still remember the day whenever I was standing conveniently off to the side looking at the discount section, waiting for my wife to finish returning items, when all of a sudden my phone begins to ring. I pull it out of my pocket, and it's my wife calling me. And I turn around and look up at her, and she's like, come here. So I come over there, and she said, I've reached my limit. I need your driver's license. The things that husbands have to do for their wives, I tell you. We struggle with commitment. But I want you to hear this. Without commitment, there is no satisfaction. Write that down. Underline it. Without commitment, there is no satisfaction. Jesus said that you can't even begin to experience new life until you commit the seed to the ground. That means you have to leave it there. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Stay put. Ephesians 3:14 through 19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. If you want to truly know the love of Christ, if you want your life to be filled with the fullness of God, you must be rooted and grounded in love. Man, it's so easy. It's so easy just to write people off when they offend you. It's easy just to walk away from relationships when times get tough. We unfriend people all the time or block them from our social media feeds. We censor them when we don't like what they're saying or something in our relationship feels strained. But the Bible says, be rooted and grounded in love. Say, be rooted and grounded in love. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Are y'all ready? Love is what? Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And the final verse in that chapter says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. 1 John 4, 8 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Stay rooted. Stay grounded in love. Ouch, right? Think about what it means to stay grounded and rooted in love. That means in the midst of those problems, in the midst of those circumstances, that it could be very easy for me to get angry, for me to get offended, for me to become hurt, for me to write somebody off, for me to pull up my roots and walk away. God says, be rooted and grounded in love. Love stands the test of time. How do I demonstrate my love for God? I must love the people around me the way that He loved me. Jesus said, love your enemy. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who use you and abuse you. How can you love God if you hate your brother? Love keeps no record of wrongs. I can't hold things against you. I'm talking to me. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody else in this room right now or in that camera. I'm talking to me. I can't hold things against you. I can't stay offended and be a child of God. Because love equals forgiveness. Being rooted and grounded in love. It seems so hard. It is. Until you remember that we love because he first loved us. We have love that we do not deserve. So we give love that others do not deserve. By grace you are saved. Freely you have received. Freely give. I can't earn God's love, and therefore, I cannot withhold God's love from the people around me. I'm going to say that again. I can't earn God's love, so I can't withhold God's love from the people around me. Forgiven, you will be forgiven. That's what Jesus said, right? Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Seems all backwards and upside down. It's completely contrary to human nature. It defies my reason, my logic. Yet God says, if you want to experience everything that I have to offer you, if you want abundant fullness of life, you must be rooted and grounded in love. He that seeks to preserve his life will lose it. But if the one who loses his life for my sake will truly find life, I have been crucified with Christ, and yet I live. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. How are we doing? Are we okay? Give me a few more minutes. The testing of your faith produces patience. Love is patient, right? Love is patient. So when patience completes its work, you will be perfect, lacking nothing. What makes roots grow deeper? There was an article that was written by a person by the name of Dennis Merritt Jones. And he was citing a study, and this is what he wrote about that study. It says, there was a great experiment done in the early 1980s in the desert called the biodome. It was an exercise to create the perfect living environment for human beings, plants, and animal life. A huge glass dome was constructed, and an artificial controlled environment was created with purified air and water, filtered light, and so on, offering the perfect growing conditions for trees, fruits, and vegetables, and humans. People lived in the biodome for many months at a time, and it was wonderful because everything seemed to do well with one exception. When the trees that were planted grew to be a certain height, they would simply topple over. It baffled the scientists for the longest time until one day they realized the one natural element that they forgot to recreate in the biodome was wind. Trees need wind to blow against them, which in turn causes their root system to grow deeper into the soil, which in turn supports the tree as it grows taller. Listen. The friction in our life, the stress, the external pressure that we experience, the strain that comes from relationships and people in general, it's all part of the process that makes us stronger. It is meant to strengthen our roots as we are planted firmly and grounded within the foundation of God's love. Too often, however, when tests and trials come, we pull up our roots and leave. We can never experience spiritual growth and maturity that comes from being rooted and grounded in love if we refuse to endure the trial. God has so much for us. He wants to bless us beyond anything that we can imagine. But he will not give us more than we can handle. It is in the trials that God is able to reveal that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. It is in the valley that we discover him as the Lord, our shepherd. It is in our grief that we find him as comforter. It is at the point of our depravity that we discover that his grace is sufficient for us. We can only learn to appreciate his love and acceptance when we have experienced the pain of hatred and rejection. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is always with you. His love will never fail you. Come on, give the Lord a praise for that. The Apostle Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Luke 8:13 says, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have what? No root. They believe for a while, but in the time of what? They fall away. Mark 4:30 and 31, Jesus said, how can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It is like a mustard seed planted on the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and the birds can make nests in its shade. We need to be planted. We need to be rooted. We need to be grounded in love. It's the only way to receive all that God has for us. Let's read this as we're closing this scripture one last time. Let's read it together. For this reason, let's put it up there, Ephesians 3:14 through 19. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God. What's the takeaway? Because of God's great grace demonstrated to us through Jesus' death on the cross, if we place our trust in Jesus, we will become God's children. When we place our trust in Jesus, we open our hearts to Him, and He begins to live through us. The more that we trust, the more His Holy Spirit within us gives us strength to live and stay in love. The more we rest in His love by trusting Him, the more that He reveals His love to us. As we remain firmly rooted in His love by trusting Him, the fullness of God's love is expressed through us to the world around us by the power of His Holy Spirit. So what is our part? Trust grace. Trust grace by living in love. Trust grace by living in love. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you are here today or you're within the sound of my voice, and you would say, I have never known the love of Christ. I have never experienced the joy that comes from being in relationship with Jesus. I've never opened my heart to receive Him as my Lord and Savior. I've never placed my trust in Him. And you would like to do so this morning. I want to encourage you. He is here for you. He is here to give you peace, grace, to fill your heart with love. When the pain and the struggles of life come, if you will allow His love to be planted within your heart, those things cannot sway you because you will have a firm foundation. I want to encourage you today, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never made that commitment to ask Him to be your Lord and Savior, I want to say a prayer with you. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. It's that simple. I want us to say a prayer together. If you've never accepted Christ and you would like to receive Him today, would you just slip your hand up right where you are? If you're watching online, would you let us know? Is there anyone in this room that would say, I would like to receive Christ today? Let's pray together. Let's pray together. If you'd like to receive Christ, I want you to pray this with me. Dear Jesus, I give myself to You fully. I open up my heart to You. I believe that You are the Son of God. I believe that God raised You from the dead. And I ask that You would come into my heart and that You would fill me with Your love. God, I receive You as Father, and I ask that You would receive me as Your child. Now, thank You that today, from this day forward, I belong to You. I'm Your child, and You live within me. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give the Lord a clap offering of praise for that? Now, Lord, I ask for every single person, would You just stand across this room? Lord, I ask for every single person in this room that You would help us to stay rooted, that You would help us to stay grounded in your love. Lord, I know it's hard at times. I know that things come and they press on us and they frustrate us and we get offended, we get hurt. But Lord, I ask that you would help us to stay in love, that we would forgive, that we would trust, that we would look to you and let you do the perfect work in us so that we can know the fullness of who you are. Holy Spirit, we give you full control to perfect this work in us. And I thank you, Lord, for each and every heart that is being touched, whether they are in this room or watching now or at a later time. Lord, go and touch them right now. Reassure them of your love. Bring a peace into their hearts and into their lives. And now, Lord, I ask that you would bless us as we go from this place, that you would help us, oh God, to understand and remember that we are your hands, we are your feet. May we go from this place and may we shine the light of your love that you have freely given to us. May we share that with the world around us. Thank you that you are doing this mighty work in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.